All right, welcome back to it. 45 after on a Thursday. The National Park Service saying people can no longer stop by Fort Sumter. That, of course, where the Civil War began. Apparently, they're concerned about a mass shooting event at Fort Sumter, South Carolina. Now, I can see why they would be concerned about that. Obviously, Fort Sumter being a symbol of the Civil War. And all of this ugly rhetoric being tossed around, I mean, really ugly rhetoric being tossed around, accusing Trump supporters of being hateful, racist, and bigots, and all of this. And so the Post and Courier in South Carolina, Charleston, by the way, reporting that Rangers have now limited access to Fort Sumter in Charleston, blocking people and boaters from using a nearby sandbar beach to pop in for an unregulated visit. Park Superintendent J. Tracy Stakely announced the closure in a letter that says security in the area of the active shooter requires a change from previous times. A change from previous times, he says, the beach attracts partiers instead of people hoping for a historical visit. The Park Service says it needs to increase security and the management of the nearly 200-year-old fort. So, you know, if there's going to be arguments and battles over Charlottesville, then clearly, you can see why Fort Sumter would be a potential hotspot or trigger area. No question about it. All right. So speaking of triggers and so forth, we were talking earlier about the president cracking down or taking a look at cracking down on social media targeting conservatives and conservative commentators. It happens every single day. John Lott at the Crime Prevention Research Center has had both of his Twitter accounts frozen. And John Lott does not put up incendiary comments. He talks about statistics and facts and mass shootings and the math behind it all. Shut down. His personal page and then the page for his organization shut down. The Crime Prevention Research Center shut down. And yesterday, the Twitter page of Mitch McConnell's reelection campaign shut down. Why? Because they had the nerve to post, they posted video of protesters outside of McConnell's home that were chanting hateful things about Mitch McConnell, his wife, the Secretary of Transportation, and others. They posted a video of them being insulted and protested and attacked, and Twitter shut them down for violating the rules. How is that possible? Seriously, how is that possible? When you look at that, you've got to think to yourself, how is somebody not able to publish protests outside of their own home without being in violation of Twitter practices? But the guy in charge of Twitter says, no question, they lean left. There's no question. At Twitter, they lean left. I've got it right here. I'm going to grab it here in a second. But Twitter, they lean left and they're biased and they know it and they admit it. And speaking of leaning left and bias, a big story from John Solomon at The Hill yesterday, in case you missed it, I want you to hear this. It came out last night. Liberal mega donor George Soros made some big bets during the last U.S. presidential election. One was that Hillary Clinton would win the presidency. Another was that he could reshape Ukraine's government. Why do all roads lead back to the Ukraine? Hunter Biden to the Ukraine? Hillary Clinton to the Ukraine? What is it about that country and that government and everything going on in that country that attracts all of this questionable activity in the shadows? Something for you to consider there. They thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency, by the way. So when Donald Trump's improbable march to the White House picked up steam in the spring of 2016, this in part from John Solomon at The Hill, Team Soros marched to the top of the State Department to protect some of those investments, according to newly released department memos providing a rare glimpse into the Democratic donors' extraordinary access to the Obama administration. What we're being told here in Solomon's report is that George Soros had keys to the top offices of the State Department and could have access and could have an audience pretty much on demand. Now, remember, Soros donated more than $10 million to Hillary Clinton, more than $10 million donated to her campaign. Either to her campaign or to the PACs that supported her campaign. He was one of the biggest donors, continues to be a huge donor, has gotten prosecutors elected all over this country, has George Soros. He also meddles in Ukrainian politics and politics all over the world. He has been banned from his own country. Excuse me. Countries in Europe have banned him altogether from doing political activity there because George Soros is known to be a guy who meddles and tries to have influence in places they don't believe he should. So Soros' team, with all of its money and all of its impact and all of its resources, had access to the highest echelons of the Obama administration. All of this, by the way, at the same time this genesis was occurring of the Russia investigation into the Donald Trump campaign. Coincidence? You decide for yourself if that's really coincidence. I don't believe it is. I believe there's certainly something that runs parallel here. So George Soros had all of this access, and John Solomon now reporting on this. And we'll hear more about this in the days to come, as we also, the IG report, the reports of Peter Strzok, who's now suing the United States government, all of this coming together conveniently at the same time. It's going to be a big fall. And if you missed it, Jerry Nadler says that articles of impeachment could be drafted by this fall as well. Oh, it's going to be an exciting year. And meanwhile, if you're a supporter of the president, you're still a racist. Just don't lose track of that. You're still a racist and a Nazi. All right, hour number two about to go in the books here. We've got a few more thoughts and comments here and some brand new stuff for hour number three for those of you sticking around and hanging with us. We're going to take a quick break. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Thursday. Follow us at SteveGruber.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be right back.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.